this season might be a little bit less on the injury front for the Commanders. We already start off the preseason with something that you just don't want to see. Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team 980 taking you up to noon. I don't want to overreact to what happened last night. I understand that injuries are a part of the game. But seeing Marcus Mariota leave, looking at his knee and that being a thing, even if it's something that's just a sprained knee or something that's just twisted and it's let's be cautious with this, it's the last thing you want to see. Because for a team that went through everything they went through last season, that we all suffer with, like, let's be honest with ourselves, last season sucked. It was not fun. And when you have a 2024 season the way the Commanders did, where they were relatively healthy, and you go into 2025 the way that you do, thinking the expectations are there, and clearly going back from what Dan Quinn had to say recently in that John Keim article on ESPN, like, they weren't prepared last season the way they were the year before. The wins and the success in 2024 kind of took them past it, and the football god said, I'm going to smack you in the face real quick and humble you guys. That's exactly what happened. If Marcus Mariota has a serious injury after what happened last night in the Commanders, like, look, okay, great. They beat the Dolphins 20-7 in the first preseason game. Who cares? 26 key starters weren't playing. It was mostly backups and rookies and things along that, which is what it should have been. And I get it. Like, there, you have to put some bodies out there, so there's always the risk of injury there. But Marcus Mariota has an important role on this team, and we saw it because he had to play a lot last year. And was it up and down? Yeah, absolutely. But when you have a quarterback that plays the way Jaden Daniels does, that comes off a season the way that it was last year with the injuries that he had to deal with, it's really hard to watch your backup quarterback, a very good and upper-tier backup quarterback in the NFL and a veteran and somebody that's really experienced in a lot of situations, and Marcus Mariota, it's really hard to see him come off the field the way that we did. And now sit here and we wait and we think. Now he only had 4 snaps. It was a non-contact injury on a handoff. And then you see him patting and grabbing his knee. That's bad. We don't ever want to see non-contact injuries. And that was right after, I mean, that, what, 22-yard completion to Deami Brown? The knee kind of buckled. You hope that it's something simple. Goes to the medical tent, and we find out more as time goes on because we have no actual diagnosis on what this is, but we know that there's a level of worry that's there. Now, Dan Quinn, of course, was asked about this after the game last night. Here's what he had to say on the Marcus Mariota injury and Nick Allegretti as well.
I know we're connected on Sunday, so I'll give an update on Marcus and some of the other guys that we've talked about, you know, who couldn't be back. Maybe it's Bates and Nick and some of the other guys. So we'll evaluate the guys tomorrow, and I'll have a good sense for what's ahead for the week. We're still in camp mode, so I'll try to give you the best updates as I can.
And listen, there are key pieces that are going to be an issue for this team. If backup quarterback now is an extended time for Marcus Mariota being out, I mean, are we talking about Sam Hartman? Is that what we want? Ethan Calligmanis, that's nice, but this guy's a late-round pick. He's a rookie. Like, we're not ready for this to be the backup situation for this Commanders team. So they probably have to look, if Marcus Mariota really is injured, you're going to be looking at the free agent market or potentially some sort of maybe trade that's there. And again, that's multiple steps ahead. But, you know, this team is already checking the boxes of some key injuries in some key spots. Because left tackle now, you're at least 4 months of Laremy Tunsil, arguably your best player on this roster as of right now, given the way that he played last year and where he ranks and the, yeah, right. And again, I get it. You have these preseason rankings, but like when you have GMs and players and people that are really paying attention to this stuff, when you have them ranking him as one of the best left tackles in the NFL, come on. I mean, he's really important to this team. So you've now got 4 months, if not more, of Laremy Tunsil out. Marcus Mariota status up in the air. Nick Allegretti, who is, yes, like again, Doc and I talked about this yesterday, but like, sure, he's trained at multiple positions, and he's a veteran, and you have all that to a point, but like he hasn't played center full-time, and he's missing valuable time at center with this team and this offense and in camp and working with the quarterback, all of those things. All that's missing. All that time now is wasted, essentially, where he's trying to rehab a calf injury. It's not an easy spot for this team to be in. And, you know, even if injuries are part of the game, when it starts to be a continuation or what it feels like of last year, it's rough. Like, it's rough on this team. It's rough on the locker room. It's rough on you, us, the fans. Like, this is the type of stuff that now makes this a little bit cloudier, a little messier. Now, look, if Jaden Daniels is healthy all season, it's fine. But what is truly, truly right now, what is your confidence level in Jaden Daniels playing all 17 games? 60% maybe? 70%? I mean, things can happen. That's why backup quarterback is so important. I mean, look, back in the day, guys like Peyton Manning never missed any time, but they didn't run. Peyton Manning didn't move. He stood in the pocket, he was protected, and he got rid of the football quickly. That's going to be one thing that Jaden Daniels is going to have to do. Like, that's going to be a massive part of what happens with this team and this offense, is Jaden Daniels making quick decisions, getting rid of the football, avoiding pressure as much as possible. Again, over an entire season, stuff's going to happen, but they're going to have to take into account now center and left tackle, and also remembering right now backup quarterback is absolutely up in the air, and it's something that this team is concerned about. And, you know, if you're Dan Quinn, obviously that was the conversation after the game last night. Not that they beat the Dolphins in a preseason game, but, you know, Ethan Kalikmanis and Sam Hartman did play extended time in the game last night. Here was Dan Quinn on that.
You know, coming in, I was pleased to see him in the chaos. And so I thought both quarterbacks did a nice job at the end of the half. It's not something that's going to show up on the stat sheet, but Sam using a lot of the clock, you know, in a 2 minute at the end of the first half, you know, we were able to get in. And so using that clock so they don't have another op, knowing that we were going to get the ball to start the second half. And then for Ethan to see him communicate and then also be at the end of the game using the clock in a 4 minute, anytime you can, like, basically end the half, you know, with the ball, you know, to get points and end the game, you know, with it, that's a big deal. And the quarterback has a big responsibility in that, using the clock. I didn't use timeouts until it got to a certain spot. So he felt calm in the space tonight. I'll be looking forward to watching him. I thought you'd see his arm strength come out a little bit, and it did on some of the play action passes. Both probably had a couple throws they'd like to have back. Sam had an interception and one that could have been AK on a sack, you know, that needed to be a throwaway to cause a longer yards. Those are learning lessons that they need. And I knew coming in that there would be mistakes, but I also recognized, like, make them, you know, like, how do you learn from them? How do you grow? And that's what I'm looking to see from he and Sam, you know, as we're going, like, when the mistakes happen, are they repeated? Do they grow? But I thought, you know, DJ did a nice job getting the guys ready into that spot. You know, obviously, like, didn't want to see Marcus leave earlier. But Sam, I thought, was ready for the moment and made a couple good throws and some conversions that we needed at that time after a long drive, you know, to go down a score against us.
I mean, in reality, Sam Hartman is not an NFL quarterback. And Ethan Kalikmanis is a late-round rookie. If Marcus Mariota really is hurt, out for the season or extended time, whatever it is, we don't know, so we can't speculate, but when it's a non-contact injury to a knee, you get worried. If that's the case, they got to go get somebody else. Like, you cannot, under any circumstances, if you're the Commanders, go into a season and think that this is it. Like, there is no way. And right now, honestly, if I were to look up, like, NFL quarterbacks that are free agents, you know you're not going to get anybody that's going to be worth your time, that they're free agents for a reason. But you can't go into a season knowing that, like, that's your backup situation. Now, look, I'm absolutely hoping that you're going to be, you know, in a position where you don't have to worry about it. And I'd love to see a list, and I'm getting just, it's just, not, everything is just chaotic for me right now. Yep. They got nothing. I'm looking at all the backups. It's just a bad list. You know, we were talking yesterday on the show about, like, the amount of quarterbacks that have started for this team over the year. Backup quarterback is one notch below starting quarterback, and they suddenly become very important very quickly. And I know there was a lot of good in the preseason. Sure, I get it. And we'll get to that. But, like, let's be real with ourselves here. Marcus Mariota getting hurt does not help this team. It's not in any way something that makes you feel good. But we wait and see, and that's as far as it can go. That being said, they can run the football. And one of the biggest spotlights to me, there were two. There were two guys that I had a spotlight on last night that I wanted to see get opportunity, and it was Sonny Styles and it was Ka'Tron Allen. And if you look at the run game right now, and this is a team that is going to want to run the football more. We know they're going to want to run the football more. It's been established that that's the case. They're not going to abandon the run, hopefully, like Cliff Kingsbury did a lot last year. Bill didn't play last night. Rashad White didn't play last night, which meant Ka'Tron Allen was going to get a lot of opportunities. And, you know, we saw that. We are seeing a backfield that's going to have some significant opportunity. Ka'Tron Allen had 85 yards on 23 carries and a touchdown. That's that grinder, short yardage type situation running back that you're going to need on this roster. He continues to play like this. He's absolutely making the roster and could end up getting significant carries this season for the team. But it wasn't just him. Now we've got an extra mix into this, right? Like, one of the big questions for me was, what does this rotation look like in the regular season with running backs? Bill and Rashad White. And obviously Rashad White, great pass catcher out of the backfield. But you need that kind of versatile back, which is what you hope Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt is going to be. And at times he shows that he's got hands, at other times he doesn't show that he's got hands. Like, you need more of that consistency out there. But we had an undrafted free agent in Robert Henry Jr. get you 75 yards on 12 carries, a 22-yard touchdown. He's the opposite of Ka'Tron Allen. Quick, decisive vision. Not that Ka'Tron Allen doesn't have that, but you know, when you're quick and you're making the types of explosive plays that Robert Henry Jr. was, that's valuable. And running backs, we know, right? Running backs, like, yeah, sure, we've got some now, and I've been very adamant about this. Drafting running backs in the first round is smart if you've got a great pick there. And Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson have proved that. And I think Jeremiah Love's going to fall into that same category, especially since the Cardinals have really nobody else on offense that can really do anything for them. But having multiple running backs that can do multiple things for your backfield is a good position to be in. It's a really good spot. And it may be a tougher decision for the Commanders in terms of the decisions they're going to have to make. You wanted to see a lot of the rookies out there tonight. You wanted to see the younger players getting those opportunities to really stand out. Ka'Tron Allen did, without question. Robert Henry Jr. absolutely did. We've got a battle in that backfield. We also had Sonny Styles, who was, you know, kind of up and down, looked a little bit like a rookie, actually. I'm not going to panic, but it's not like we saw some big pop moments, some great plays. Robert Henry Jr. stood out a lot more. Ka'Tron Allen stood out a lot more than somebody like Sonny Styles. Here was Dan Quinn on their performances after the game.
So I was just visiting with Sonny outside, and so just it was like having a little sip today, you know, just got a taste of what it's like and how to go. And so I wasn't pleased defensively on the first drive. I just felt like it was slow going there. And then I thought they got their feet underneath them and got going, but both sides we started a little slower than I would have liked. And then I thought the teams, you know, got rolling from there, and there was a lot of battling back and forth. But Sonny, I expect, you know, good technique, good speed. And those are the things that he's demonstrated so far in camp. And as far as Robert goes, he and Ka'Tron both, I thought, had a nice night, John. And also for Jerome Ford went out, we had three backs for the game. And so when Jerome was out, there was really no flinch from these guys playing on teams, returning. And so that was a good sign. I felt, you know, outside stuff with Rob, and so it was kind of cool to see both these guys, you know, with Ka'Tron finishing the game with a first down and a touchdown towards the end. Like, those are the physical style runs we'd expect from him.
Ka'Tron Allen really matters to this team. But if you've got Robert Henry Jr., if this ends up being a four running back backfield, I mean, if you've got Bill, Ka'Tron Allen, Rashad White, and Robert Henry Jr., you're going to have a lot of different looks to give. And the one thing that we're certainly finding, right, is that, you know, you're going to be in a position to show some different things, to give some different looks, to, I mean, just keep defenses on their heels, which would be a nice change of pace for them, right? Like, you're going to see that a lot with the offense. You're going to see it spread around to different wide receivers. And if you see the same thing in the backfield, that's going to keep this offense guessing, or keep defenses guessing, because of what this offense is doing. And I think that's a spot that they're really going to they're going to benefit in. By the way, I now have a list of some available quarterbacks. Things were not working for me before, and I wanted to break my laptop. It's nobody. Do the Commanders need to sign Jimmy Garoppolo, who's almost 35? By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo is already almost 35. He's actually an unrestricted free agent. I thought he was still on the Rams roster, and then you realize, oh, wait, he's not. That's right, because they have Ty Simpson and Stetson Bennett. Even though Garoppolo was talking about retiring, maybe Jeff Driscoll's back on this roster for this team. If Marcus Mariota's out, it's going to be slim pickings. Maybe they can make a trade, but it's not going to be pretty. And Marcus Mariota missing extending time for this team is going to be a really rough situation for them to be in. If Jaden stays healthy, it doesn't matter, but right now, you can't count on that. You just can't. Oh, Brett Rippon. We could have Brett Rippon. He's available. I mean, that's cool with the name and all, but like, let's be real. It's not good. It's not good. Especially, too, because this offseason did not have a very robust quarterback market, so it's a little bit more difficult if you are the Commanders now to go looking for backups when backups were also taken with other teams. It just, it all sucks, man. We just need Allegretti to get healthy. We need a quick return for Laremy Tunsil and Marcus Mariota to have less of an injury than we think it was. But non-contact injuries with the knee, we all get concerned. We all get scared. But it was one preseason game, and you didn't see a lot of starters. It was just about some of the sample sizes that you get from, well, the rookies that were out there. Some good, some bad. They might be able to really run the football this year. All right, Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team. You know, you don't want to leave any preseason game with any injuries, but you also want to leave with some positive. And they got that. The Commanders at least got that with how they can run the football, potentially. Although, let's remember, last year against the Bengals in that one drive, looked like they were going to run the hell out of the football, and Chris Rodriguez and Bill were, and Jaden runs into the end zone, and we're like, ooh, look at this. Oh, never mind, they're not doing that in the regular season. Nick Ashew on the Fan. You know, Sonny Styles looked like a rookie last night, but he had his moments, and you know, he wore the green dot, in case anyone's wondering. Big on the green dot. We are focused on that green dot, aren't we? Three tackles, but you know, processing the speed of the game, you know, there it's going to take a little bit of time. So it's difficult to be in a position where you start judging what happens in one preseason game, but yet it's the only sample size that we have. It's kind of like summer league in the NBA, where you know, we get a little bit overly excited when you see somebody have a really good summer league. Sometimes it works out. Like, for somebody like A.J. Dabonsa, yeah, no, that's the number one overall pick. He should have a good preseason. He should be somebody that you expect to dominate. It's the role players that come out and just burst onto the scene. You're like, he's going to be a star. Oh, just kidding. That's not actually going to happen. So you don't want to overreact too much. Injuries are different. I had somebody tweet me, they're like, why is everybody so concerned about Marcus Mariota? He won us one game last year. That's not the point. The point is that it's a backup quarterback that is a veteran that can still hold down the offense, and it'll be okay if he's holding down the offense for like a game or two. Like, Marcus Mariota is the backup quarterback Jaden's rookie year when he was just filling in some spot moments, including that, what, the game-winning drive against the Cowboys? Like, okay, that's where he's good. They're screwed no matter what if Jaden Daniels is hurt anyway. Like, if Jaden Daniels misses extended time this year, it doesn't matter whether it's Marcus Mariota or Jimmy Garoppolo or Jeff Driscoll, or you go and trade for, I don't know, Snoop Huntley. Ravens aren't going to get rid of him, but, you know, Josh Johnson's not available. He's a Bengal now. Maybe they could trade for Joe Flacco. You know what? Here's our scenario. If Marcus Mariota is hurt for an extended period of time, call the Bengals and trade for Joe Burrow. Well, I'd love Joe Burrow, but Joe Flacco. By the way, I do that all the time. Joe Burrow, Joe Flacco. I constantly screw it up when they're on the same team. Then we'll just continue the trend of Joe Flacco being a hero for teams that need a quarterback to come in out of the blue and rescue their offense. Because I can tell you this right now, if Mariota's missing extended time and you think that Sam Hartman's going to be your guy, you are in for a rude awakening. That is not an NFL quarterback right there. It's just, I mean, they've got to do something. So maybe you call up the Bengals and say, we'd love Joe Flacco. Here's a 7th-round pick. Just in case. I know it's more for him being a starter, but, like, you need somebody. They're going to have to. They're going to have to figure it out. Because the free agent market is rough. John Wolford, do you want him? Brett Rippon? Jeff Driscoll? Like, it's just, there's not a lot of choices out there in terms of quarterbacks that are available. It ain't much. But I don't want to, like, injuries, Yeah, we see the visual of Marcus Mariota holding his knee, a non-contact injury, and we sit and wait. That's where the overreactions really kick in. I'm not going to overreact to an up-and-down first preseason game for somebody like Sonny Styles. The game is faster, even when you're playing against backups, because like that's the thing that people always forget. These guys that are still fighting to make a roster in the NFL or like solidified as, you know, backup running back, offensive lineman, whatever the case is, and they're playing last night for the Dolphins, or again, anybody else. It doesn't have to be just last night. It can be across the board. Those are guys that are still, we're still one of the best players on their college team. Like, that's the adjustment that a lot of, and in quarterbacks, we'll talk about this a lot, right? Quarterbacks that have speed, athleticism, one of the biggest adjustments that they have to make is the speed of the game and understanding that you may go up against a defense in college that has one linebacker that's running like a 4-5. Just throw out a 4-5 isn't, you know, is a round number there, right? In the NFL, you got them across the board. You got fast linebackers, fast defensive ends. I mean, just the speed, the athleticism is at an elite level. That's how it works in the NFL. So that's one of the main adjustments that are going to be there. And Sonny Styles is going to have to go through a little bit of that. And, you know, listen, you had other rookies out there too. Matt Golbin, who's a rookie center that they drafted. He had some power in the second quarter out there. He looked like somebody that belonged. And given the center competition, I wouldn't even call it a competition, but given the lack of continuity right now with Nick Allegretti still missing time, to see your sixth-round pick at center looking like he belongs out there, even if you're not targeting him as a starter, which hopefully is not the case, to know that you have somebody out there that looks capable, that gives you a little level of comfort, even in the small sample size. Antonio Williams wasn't even out there till the third quarter, had a 16-yard catch. Not much of a sample, but made a big play. And again, like everybody, it's going to be little dabbles. It's going to be small sample sizes. It's going to be a tiny little bit. Okay. We kind of expected that. You just want to see moments. I am disappointed we didn't get one or two big pops from Sonny Styles. Started a linebacker, made the calls, and gets you a couple tackles. It's just not much. But it's what goes on in practice that impresses the coaches more for guys that are going to have major roles. Like, guys that are going to have major roles, starter or almost starter, preseason is going to be far less of an opportunity. It's go out there, make a couple plays, get warm, get in your routine, catch up to the speed of the game, work on some things you need to work on. But you're not seeing a lot. You're not seeing a lot of, I mean, the playbook for both offense and defense in the preseason, right? We don't get a lot. Remember when RG3 was a rookie, we saw nothing in his, and that was a fun year, right? Remember when we saw nothing in the preseason and then he opens up against the Saints and we're like, oh my God, look at this. And RG3ing was a thing with the sitting on the ground and the two hands up with the touchdown throw and everything. I mean, boy, do we think that was going to be a fun era. But, you know, you just don't see a lot in the preseason. But that's why preseason heroes really become a thing. And that's starting to show. We're starting to see a couple of potential preseason heroes for this team. And it may be somebody that you expected to have a significant role on this roster. And it may be some that's not. Now, the question really becomes next against Detroit for their second preseason game. How many starters do you see on the field, especially on the offensive side, given the injuries? Do we see Jaden Daniels out there for one series? Do you see more? I would expect one. Because if Marcus Mariota really is hurt, and you're not going to have him for an extended period of time with this knee injury, do you want to risk Jaden Daniels? Like, I get it. He didn't play a lot last year, but you imagine if Jaden Daniels gets hurt? God, I don't want to think about it. I mean, that's it. What are you doing at quarterback? Like, we're back in the doldrums again. We're back wandering that desert if you have no Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota. Just mail it in and tank. There's nothing worse than going into a season week one and going, can't wait to tank this year, so we really don't want that. I bet you we don't see much of Jaden Daniels, and it's a lot of handing the ball off and quick throws just to get some timing. Like, that's it. That's all that it's going to be. There's just no point. And I wouldn't do it. I would not play him a lot. And I get it. There's that balance of like, well, you need the reps. You're getting a lot of reps in practice. You're getting a lot of reps in specific situations that they're actually talking about and they're actually focused on. Like, that's really what's going to matter more. But I don't think you're going to see a lot of them now. I'm telling you, go get Joe Flacco. Go get Joe Flacco. He'd be a great backup. He saves teams all the time. He's a hired gun, with every team he plays for. Although the problem is, if you're the Bengals, would you make that trade? Because Joe Burrow always gets hurt. Oh, it is what it is. Well, we just hope that Marcus Mariota's not super hurt, and we don't have to worry about this anymore. But right now, we sit on pins and needles. Nick Ashew, Team 980 in the Fan.
There we go.
Cajal with the pick. He's in enemy territory, and this defense is fired up, folks.
Pressure. That was pressure on the quarterback. Made him get the ball out of his hands quickly.
I'm more and more convinced that this defense is going to have to carry the Commanders early in the season. Now, that was my theory last year, and I was wrong, but I'm going to try to double down this year, and I think it's going to be better. Nick Ashew on the Fan. You know, the offense now has a left tackle issue, a center issue, potentially a backup quarterback issue, which won't matter if Jaden Daniels stays healthy, but it is still something to think about here. But they also do have weapons, but they've got some new faces. There's a lot of moving parts. It's a new offense. If you look at the trend of where we've gone in the NFL over the last even just couple of seasons, you're starting to see a little bit more of the run game creep back. Defense is mattering a little bit more. The pendulum's kind of swinging the other way. Not totally, but to a point. And if you look at even just last year, really, well, no, I'd actually argue the last couple of seasons. You see a trend, and it's not necessarily permanent, but it is a trend that is starting to show more and more, where running back numbers are up, rushing yards per game, rushing touchdowns versus passing touchdowns, little things like that, which tells you that the lack of preseason experience that teams are getting, it's affecting offenses more than defenses. And it makes sense, right? I mean, you know, there's always going to be new pieces for anybody, whether it's the Commanders or anybody else, but you know, if you're adding for the Commanders specifically a new offense, yeah, David Blau was there, and there's going to be maybe some things that, you know, worked last year that you incorporate in, but it's going to be new offense. If you're doing the same thing Cliff Kingsbury did, we're in trouble. But you have got that. Then you've got somebody like a Stephon Diggs added to the roster that's going to, you know, targets are going to be involved, and then you've got to figure out Antonio Williams and where he is. He had a 16-yard catch last night, and you know, there's going to be a level of adjustment, chemistry building. Chemistry matters. Quarterback and receiver and offensive line, not to mention offensive coordinator, all those pieces. I call it the assembly line of success, right? You got to have a coordinator that's a great play caller. You got to have an offensive line that can protect. You got to have a quarterback that can throw it accurately. And then you've got to have a receiver that can make that play. Like, all those things have to happen for a pass game to work well. Now, running the football is a little bit different. And we saw last night, again, preseason, backups, rookies. Like, it's not a real gauge. But Ka'Tron Allen looked really good, right? Right off the bat. A guy that you drafted that you hope was going to be one of your short yardage backs. Like, you got it. He had 85 yards on 23 carries, had a touchdown. Robert Henry Jr. carried the ball 12 times for 75, had a 22-yard touchdown. They are opposite running backs, though. And for all the talk about Bill and Rashad White, who are going to make the roster unless something drastic happens, you may have to keep four backs. You might need Ka'Tron Allen and Robert Henry Jr., which means, okay, then what happens to the other, you know, like a Jeremy McNichols? I mean, this is the hard part, right, when you're building a roster. Sometimes sacrifices are made where you just can't keep five guys at a certain position, but they may keep seven wide receivers. Do they keep four backs? Like, these are the types of things that are going to be worked out as the preseason goes on. But from a defensive side, this defensive line is improved, and linebacker is improved. And Sonny Styles showed like he was a rookie at times last night, but it's his first preseason game. It's not going to be perfect. And he's probably not asked to go out there and do too much necessarily either. It's get a flow, get comfortable. But when you add Leo Chenal, and you're getting hopefully more out of Frankie Louvu now in the way that they're using him in practice and working him in alongside Sonny Styles at linebacker, and Adafe always expected to get after the quarterback, and after week one, even though he got suspended, Dorrance Armstrong will be back out there and hopefully healthy for the entire season. Another good pass rusher that you really, really need this year. That's going to be what really helps this team, is getting push on another, you know, on the offensive line across from them, getting after the quarterback, causing havoc and disruption, because the secondary does have some questions. Trey Amos is continuing to battle injuries. Mikey Samristil has been inconsistent, including in, you know, against the Dolphins in the joint practice. Rasul Douglas might end up being a bigger addition than they realized. Like, Amik Robertson, probably going to have a big role for them in the secondary. But that's why you have those veterans. But this defense is going to probably be counted on at the beginning of the season to really make some plays and to really pick up the slack for what could be an offense that needs a little time. Now, again, there's no guarantees that that's going to be the case, but we see it a lot. And it doesn't mean that the offense isn't working, isn't clicking, you got the wrong guys. It just means that there is a ramp-up period. Like, offenses in the NFL are massively important. It's quarterback-driven league, you get all that. But because of the timing, because of the ramp up, because of the need for chemistry, it's almost like a lawnmower. You got to crank that thing a few times before it really gets growing and humming. In the first 2 weeks, you might be pulling on that string quite a bit, trying to get that lawnmower to really ramp up. And, you know, that's what they missed out on last year, right? Because Terry McLaurin missed most of camp, and he's, you know, hurt after he's actually back with the new contract and didn't get a chance to work him and Deebo Samuel together at all. And then there was bad play calling, and then they're behind in games, so they're trying to force feed the ball and throw it upfield, and oh, it's Marcus Mariota most of the time and not Jaden Daniels. And, you know, again, they was just one thing after the other with this team that just made it so difficult for them to get anything done. But you're going to probably have to think about what that looks like and what this defense has to bring to the table for this team. And they've got some talent there. I'm not one of those people that's ready to like put this into a top 10 defense, but there are people watching this defense and what it's doing in joint practices and just everything across camp in general, and they're a lot more hyped about it than me. I'm not ready to do that yet, but I do think that it is a much improved defense. And I think that's one of the most important things, is that if the money that was spent this offseason was money well spent, they're in a great spot. I mean, you even go out and get somebody like Tim Settle, who's, yeah, not going to be, you know, he's not going to go out there and get you 40-something snaps, but that's going to be a big body on your defensive line that's going to help. Charles Omenihu, like, you know, Kalavion Chaisson. And again, I could just sit here and list all of the names that they've added, but this defense is very different from where it was last year. And if you can get also the return of Frankie Louvu of 2 years ago and a healthy Dorrance Armstrong after week one and his suspension, and maybe a little more out of somebody like a Johnny Newton who you took in the second round, not to mention Joshua Josephs, a fifth-round pick that maybe develops as the season goes on, but that's later. That's not at the beginning of the season. The point really here is that you have some talent on paper. You have a roster on the defensive side, on both sides, that's improved. Like, it is. It's just maximizing the talent that's actually going to be on the field. We talked to David Harrison yesterday, who covers the team for WSA9, and he loves Javonte Jean-Baptiste. He thinks that's going to be a big year for him coming up. If that's the case too, man, you've added a bunch. You've added a bunch of talented guys on this defense, either through free agency or just improvement, that makes this defense look totally different. If they can have a top 10 defense added with the weapons they have on offense, this should be a 10-win team. Again, health is an issue, but if Jaden Daniels is healthy all year, it's not going to matter who your backup quarterback is, because you'll have your starter out there. But backup does matter. It absolutely does matter. And I think that's one of the most important things, is figuring out what the hell is going on with Marcus Mariota. And we sit and we wait. Just pray it's just a tweak. Oh, everything's fine. That would be great. You got to have a good backup still in this NFL. Nick Ashew on The Fan.
Miller lets it go, and it's another pick. This time it's Malik Spencer. Byron Cowart, the new signee, the former Terp with the pressure.
He a Terp. Hey, we got to have preseason heroes, right? Two more games to find that. May have already had some. And, you know, listen, this is even when it's small sample sizes, but if Robert Henry Jr. continues to run the ball the way that he did, 12 carries for 75 yards, he's quick, he's got that decisive vision, showed that explosiveness. I'm okay if they keep four running backs. Again, there are decisions that are made in terms of like how many is kept at one position for the other is not just based on the talent you have at that position, right? It's like, okay, can we sacrifice maybe an extra defensive lineman so we can add four running backs to this roster. Now, four backs is a lot. I get that, but you do have the ability to have some variety in that backfield. And by the way, if you see Robert Henry Jr. as somebody that can be like a legit contributor to this team and a developmental back that, you know, he might end up being a practice squad guy, but if he makes the active roster and keeps doing what he's doing here, and you got Bill, Rashad White, Katron Allen, and Robert Henry Jr., you better run the football a lot, but you got opportunities to really do something special with this offense there. Because Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt can kind of be both, right? He's a pass catcher, but at times, you know, work on the hands a little bit, but you want to give him significant carries. Rashad White is a great receiver out of the backfield, one of the best running backs out of the backfield as a pass catcher in the NFL. We know what Katron Allen is, and Katron Allen had 85 yards on 23 carries and a touchdown, but he's that grinder. He's that old school back. And just because the running back has a position has evolved in the NFL doesn't mean that you don't want to have guys like a Katron Allen on your roster. So he keeps running the ball like that, he's going to make the roster. Rashad White's going to likely make the roster. Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt's going to likely make the roster. They didn't play in the first game, which tells you you're getting enough in camp from them where the team's comfortable. So it's maybe that fourth spot. And that might mean that Jeremy McNichols doesn't make this team. And listen, he's had value, right? I mean, he's a great pass blocker. And he's also used as a receiver at times, too. But that's the key. You can't have too many redundancies at running back when there's too many other positions. So if I had to guess, if they're keeping four backs, it's Robert Henry Jr., Katron Allen, Rashad White, and Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. Again, that's one game, and that's a small sample size. But, you know, that's the other question then becomes, what does receiver look like? Like, this offense has a lot of battles going on the back end of the depth chart. Not that it's not going to happen on the defensive side as well, but you have really, like, you've got the top end of what your depth chart's going to likely look like at running back. Barring anything crazy, that's there. Same thing with wide receiver. Terry McLaurin's making the team. Stephon Diggs is making the team. Antonio Williams is making the team. Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane are likely making the team because they also are dangerous weapons as returners. So it's the special teams aspect that makes them valuable as well. Plus, I really do believe that Luke McCaffrey can take that next step. Not a number, you know, not like a number two receiver or anything, but like somebody that can make significant strides as a consistent wide receiver when he gets targets, making plays for you. But that's five guys I named right there. So we're talking Van Jefferson, De'Ami Brown, Treylon Burks, maybe a Nick Nash, guys like that, Jacoby Jones, maybe all trying to make the roster. Jaden Bradley, who's a big body that'll probably be a practice squad guy, but they've tried to give him opportunities in camp too. So like you got a big, the one good thing here is these are good problems to have if you're the Commanders in this sense. You've got depth at certain positions on the offensive side with an rookie offensive coordinator that wants to do things differently and be innovative and all of these things that you want to see. You've got some of the pieces to be able to do it because they're going to likely move the ball around at wide receiver. Like, yeah, Terry McLaurin's supposed to get his 10 targets and Stephon Diggs being opposite him will certainly help that. But there's still a bunch of other guys on this roster. Every defense in the NFL is going to know that Terry McLaurin's getting targets. You think it's not going to happen? Now, yeah, double and triple coverage, he still makes plays. We've seen him do it his entire career because, for the love of God, we've been trying to find somebody to be the opposite receiver, number two receiver, whatever you want to call it, opposite of Terry McLaurin his entire career. Since 2019, this has been a conversation. Really haven't had it. Debo was like the closest thing. Now you got Stephon Diggs. So, yeah, Terry McLaurin's going to get his targets. Every defense in the NFL also knows he's going to get those targets. Stephon Diggs will bring what he brings to the table. And then after that, it's where does the ball go depending on matchups? Antonio Williams, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane in certain situations, whoever, De'Ami Brown, like, you're going to have chances. And you're going to have the opportunity to spread the ball out. And by spreading the ball around offensively, that makes you harder to game plan for week after week. And on top of that, if you're doing the right thing, which is what great offensive coordinators do, layering in new wrinkles. And that's the key. Are you listening, Cliff Kingsbury? I mean, that's been one of the biggest issues that he had over really his entire coaching career, is that whether it's offensive coordinator, head coach, whatever, it's, yeah, there's some great play calling at the beginning and some great ideas and some successes, but then it doesn't change. These defensive coordinators are smart, and the best defensive coordinators in the NFL are grizzled vets that have seen it all, right? Defensive coordinators are pilots. I want a pilot that's got gray hair, that good eyes still, alert, but I want a pilot that's a grizzled vet. He's seen it all. He's calm, collected, in bad weather. But I want my offensive coordinator like a tech bro. I want him young, innovative, creative, trying something new that no one else has seen before. And that's what the Commanders sort of have. I mean, Durante Jones, obviously, is not, I mean, he's not Mike Zimmer or, you know, Vic Fangio in terms of age, but, you know, he's been around the NFL long enough to work with really smart defensive coordinators like a Brian Flores, who went to Minnesota and instantly turned that defense around. So Durante Jones kind of fits that category similarly. But David Blau comes in as the innovative guy that can give you looks that other teams haven't seen. And some of it's just, you haven't seen all these pieces together. The overall puzzle. You haven't seen Stephon Diggs and Terry McLaurin play together. Haven't seen Antonio Williams in the NFL other than his 16-yard reception that he had last night. And you've got an opportunity to keep teams on their heels and surprise them, especially early in the season. Look, the first two games for the Commanders are on the road. And they're both division games on the road, at Philadelphia, at Dallas. Then you're at home, and you've got Seattle as well. And that's a defense that really helped them win a Super Bowl last year. Even though it's not the same, it's a similar defense. So they've got a bunch of things that they can do to keep those defenses guessing early on. And there's a chance that they sneak up on the Eagles in the season opener. There's a chance that they sneak up on Seattle's defense with still some new wrinkles 3 weeks into the season. Now, of course, left tackle is going to be an issue, but maybe Brandon Coleman holds down the fort well. And center is a question because Nick Allegretti's barely been out there, but Matt Golden spent time out there and looked pretty good, so maybe that's, you know, you can't go with Julian Good-Jones start at center, so they're going to have to figure that thing out too. But that's part of what camp's all about. They got bodies in there. They got guys that are going to add some depth, and, you know, you also have Chick Okonkwo, who can go out there and make plays. They didn't have somebody like that last year in this offense. So there's a lot of pieces that you can move around. There's a lot of things that can be accentuated offensively for this team. But if you're adding an extra wrinkle in somebody like a Robert Henry Jr. and he makes this roster, I mean, that's a dynamic back right there. And running backs can come out of nowhere. Happens all the time. Like, yes, I am not against in any way drafting a running back in the first round if they are a true weapon and a true talent. But you can also find guys like a Robert Henry Jr. from UTSA that maybe isn't a big guy. He's like 5'9", a little less than 200 pounds, give or take, depending on what he's eating that day. But that's a valuable weapon to still have. And, man, the more they have on that offense, the more that it just keeps teams guessing moving forward. And that's what's going to make them very successful. And Jaden, obviously, being healthy. Nick Hashew on the Fan.